6:30 spot on. You are listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International. Time now for our Fitas Diary installment number 4. And alhamdulillah, lots of excitement in the community. I receive messages throughout the day about Fitas, so I don't even have to ask. After the installment is played out, inshallah, I'll read you some of the messages that I received during the course of the day. But anyways, I'd like to hear from you. I always like to chat from chat with people from the area. 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548 after the installment. And 48855 or 0727-86-1548. In today's installment, we're speaking about the slumlords. You know, landlords, how they used to extort. Let's hear them.
Fitas, a journey through time. The slumlords. Right up to 1962, the majority of stands were on Indian names. These stands were leased, and rent was paid for occupying these stands. 4 cottages, on average, were on each stand. There was a very small group of landlords who monopolized the stands in Fitas. Discontent existed amongst the residents of Fitas concerning the amount they were expected to pay for rent and the conditions they were expected to live for the rent that was stalled from them. The slumlord problem affected every Fitas resident. It is an integral part of the life in Fitas. Landlords took advantage of their tenants who were at mercy to the homes because they didn't have anywhere else to go to. 95% of people in Fitas were tenants who occupied the landlord spaces. In about 1950, a lot of the stands were renovated and people were charged higher prices for renting them. A display of racism in terms of subletting was often displayed where certain people of certain creeds were not allowed to rent certain of the stands. The slumlord problem was complicated. The anger was often directed at the rent collectors. It's difficult to assess to what extent the housing problem in Fitas was also a slumlord problem. It's tough to say whether people had serious problems with their landlords, their housing conditions, or the amount they were paying for rent, or all of the situations. One of the very basic questions were, why didn't these landlords do anything about improving the living conditions of their tenants? The question is linked to a socio-political question about the housing situation of non-whites and legal restrictions that existed with regards residential and trading rights of non-whites. In urban Johannesburg, landlords did not have the right to improve the conditions of these houses without the consent of the city council. In a way, the city council was still strategizing the best way in which to get the non-whites out of Fitas. The slumlord problem needs to be understood in the wider context of socio-political dynamics of Fitas as a non-white spot in the white city center of Johannesburg. The landlords do not only make a profit from the poor living conditions that were rented out, but also monopolized and controlled the ownership of stands and dominated the rent racketeering. As a result, one landlord owned practically 75% of Fitas. The other 25% was owned by 3 to 5 other landlords. Although the landlords cannot be blamed on the conditions of the stands and cottages, they can be blamed for the amount of rent they collected from it.
A Radio Islam production by Maulana Habib Bobat and Tafail Patel.
Joining the discussion, call Maulana Habib Bobat on 011-854-1548, SMS 48855.
Yeah, today's one was a bit of a detailed one and something which we had to pay close attention to, because talking about slumlords, and I think only the people that stayed there were able to relate to what Brother Tufail is recording in today's segment. And he says an interesting part that 75% of the stands was owned by a certain person and only 25% by the others. And there was a strategic move to get the non-whites out of that area by not allowing renovations and making it difficult for people to improve on or to improvise on the property. Even today, if you go, till today, you'll see the small cottages. Wow, and people are still living like that. And they are still found today, both on the south side and the north side. Although the many progress, many people have changed and improvised, but many have not also, and the traditional setup is still there. If you get a chance, do drive past Fitas and just to get a feeling, the sense of it. One person actually told me after the program, he actually drove to Johannesburg just to take a drive into Fitas, an ex-Fitas man. And he was like, wow, that is Fitas, that's what he said. Anyways, let me read to you some of the messages. In the meanwhile, you can send in your contributions via SMS or via the telephone lines. This one reads, Assalamu alaikum Maulana. My grandmother passed away in India. My grandfather came to South Africa in 1940s. He was the pioneer of Fitas. His only pleasure was to sit on the bus stop after a long day of hard work. Those days, Dilare Street was like Mint Road of Fordsburg. There was so much activity, buses coming and going until late hours. Cafes were open until late. People coming out of movies, hordes of people loitering around. It was all clean fun. Many of our elders and dear ones came from India. They were forced to move to Indonesia. Many of them went into depression and passed away. Wow, that's a new revelation for me. The neighbors were so loving and caring. Our neighbors had a cafe. Every Sunday they took me in the car with their children to Park Station to collect their vegetables for the shop. These are happy memories of my youth, as in those years my father never owned a car. The one cafe owner had a soft spot for me. On Sunday morning I used to go to buy bread. He used to fill a small packet of biscuits for me. I will always treasure those memories. Whenever I pass Fitas, looks like a Kabristan, I picture my grandfather sitting on the bus stop. So many years have passed, 60 years. The memory still lives on. May Allah bless them all, Jannatul Firdaus, and high stages in the Akhirah. We were 13 people, this one says, we were 13 people in one house. Grandfather, great-grandfather, uncles, aunties, all passed away. Used one bathroom, so much of love, all sad memories. Now there is so much tension, depression, sickness, worries. Every day is a tough day. Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Am I on air?
Gee, live on air.
Maulana, my name is Gora. I was actually not born in Vredendal, Pretoria. Hmm. I was born on a farm. But I started my schooling career in Vredendal.
Right.
That was grade one.
Mm-hmm.
We were two brothers and a sister and my mother, and we lived in a two-room and kitchen cottage,
mm-hmm.
like everybody else. Bathroom and toilet outside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a lot of the people listening will remember me as Gora, but I was known as AC, and my brother was known as YC.
So tell us why.
My name was Ahmed Chunara, and my brother Yusuf Chunara.
Oh, YC.
YC and
I see now.
I see. Maulana, for those who remember me, I'd just like to tell them all, Assalamu alaikum, and I miss you guys like hell.
That is so touching, eh? That is so touching. Jazakumullah for that, brother. That is really touching to come on and to salute. Now, I'm sure you're not going to leave him hanging. Somebody is going to come up to respond to that greeting on air to say, Wa alaikum salam, and I'm also from Fitas. Somebody has to be listening there. 011-854-1548. Another message coming through, it reads here, Assalamu alaikum, my name is Ahmed. I'm 62 years old. I went to Madrasa on the 11th Street by Maulana M.I. Nana, who was the then Secretary of Jamiatul Ulama Transvaal. He is a great grandfather of Radio Islam's Maulana Muhammad Baum. We were plus minus 75 kids taught in two rooms and a kitchen and a small yard. Wow, 75 kids taught in such a small place. Yeah, but they produce wonderful people that still serves at key positions today in our country. Yeah, they will be discussing about that in the coming days also. 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548. We're going to go for a quick breather. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue. Yes, we are waiting to hear from the Mensa van Fitas. Yeah, let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I won't like to tell you my name, but they know me as Bhavi.
Okay,
from 21 Bhavi. Street, we were living. We were, my name is Smiling Stores. My father-in-law is late now, but he was Ismail Jamal, very, very well known in Friedersdorf. Been giving ghusl to all the ladies, all the men in this in the area. We had a shop with this house, living with the shop and everything. People should come late night for ghusl. They call him. He goes out to give ghusl. People come for dummies. People come for napkins. People have, everything was done.
At that time, there wasn't like formal structures like you have a burial center.
Yes.
I guess it was done at homes, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Everything was done at home, yes.
That's scary. How do you go back?
Father-in-law didn't worry. People didn't have coffin. He used to just sweep himself. It doesn't matter whatever it was.
Was it not scary to go back to the same bathroom the next morning when you know that somebody's ghusl was done there?
No, he was not scared. My father-in-law was a very good, well-known man, and when he comes from Fijer, he shouldn't even care. The shops were all together, everybody's shops were together. He was sweeping from one corner to the other corner. My mother-in-law said, why are you sweeping the neighbor's corners? He didn't care. He was such a good man, he was. Unlike him, genital fiddles, that was our life. And my mother-in-law...
What do you miss the most today, Appa?
I miss my father-in-law a lot.
Where are you staying now?
We are living in Lens, Extension 5.
Okay, and then you go there now and then?
Yes, we do go around that side, but it's no more the same.
No more the same.
No more the same, it's finished.
Khalas buddha.
But do khalas ji. But we were very happy, and when it was Ramzan, all neighbors were running with each other. When it's time to break Rosa, neighbors were coming to give, somebody come and give Aleem, somebody running this way, running that way, could see the atmosphere was Ramzan was there. And my mother-in-law, she was a Manu Khala, she used to prick everybody's ears. And that day, that time with the cotton, they used to do it, not even fast, she line up every week coming there. She even taught me how to prick the people's ears.
Well, what was the wisdom there?
Yes, it was so good.
Okay.
And my mother-in-law actually had, and even people come and sell vegetables. She should phone one corner to the other corner. The whole street should come out just to buy vegetables. That's how mohabbat we had. Here, nobody even tells you that a person is selling vegetables. I'd be lucky to see your neighbor in once a week.
Yeah, now this side it's really sad.
Very, very sad. I don't know how to tell you. We see a neighbor once a month also, it could be fine. It's like that.
Subhanallah.
So much that visitors and Sundays, we had from 18th Street, people come. My mother-in-law let us make coconut biscuits and tea. And all the neighbors should come around and we have tea. And special as Hindu people, they were named by Lalas. Shop. Don't believe they were not. They were Hindus, but they were just like Muslims. They should share with us tea, and everything was together. It was just different. I don't think we can ever get that that atmosphere again.
Subhanallah.
It was very and those Hindu people, they were Hindus, but their heart was so big that when every Sunday he take a whole sack of bird food, all our children run into his car and they all go to the fourth work somewhere, I don't know, wherever they were going, they go and give bird food. Every Sunday they used to go and do that. And all the street children know that today is the birthday, they're going to go and give the bird
food. So, Appa, the question is, Abadu Chaluka Gyo?
Allah ne khabar. Must still make lot of dua that Mohammed must still come back.
Inshallah.
Yes.
Jazakumullah for the Appa. Wonderful call.
But
you can still send the coconut biscuits. Maybe I'll get...
My mother loves to make 2 pounds of coconut biscuits. And the whole street from 18th Street, everyone should come on Sundays. And my home, not even putting in a tupperware and making fancy in big tapilas, you know, we put there inside coconut biscuits.
Jazakumullah.
And they should just share. They don't care how it was. But here, now you have to make it such a fancy, you go to somebody's house, to go, even go and visit, you have to take a fancy plate because my plate is better than your plate.
Jazakumullah for that, Appa. Much appreciated.
Right. Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sincere people. Say it as it is, eh? I think the pricking story, I think she meant that she used to pierce the the girls for the earring, somebody just sent a message. So that's a big lol also, mashallah. Here's another message coming through. I'm going to try and play it off my phone. I've got 4% battery, which could die out any minute. But just listen to this.
Born in a hut of poverty, raised by a mother of nine, working for others inevitably, haunted by white supremacy. This was the situation that we all had to thrive and live on. But in spite of all the odds against us, we survived and we were successful.
Yeah, that's another clip coming through from one of our listeners. I think it's from Brother Shabir Veli from Extension 9. Yeah. So this is what's happening there. Lots of people, mashallah, creating that environment of nostalgia. I wonder if they meet in the masjid. They say, "Tame hamre lajare di Islam par ya ki fitas ni wat karta hota." 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, alternatively 0727-86-1548. That's the whole thing, to get people talking again and make them realize that they had so much in the community. There's so much of love, so much of mahabba, so much of unity, so much of things going for themselves. That's what we need to rekindle in with our people. Let's go to the lines again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Oh, alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Gee.
My name is Abdul Aziz, you know, Ismail. Been like a scarlet pumpernel, if you know what it means, you know.
I don't know.
From 1970, you know, I moved about six times the houses, you know. First I stay on Diagonal Street, and from there they moved us. So then I went away to Fordsburg, and I stayed there on Lover's Walk, and from there they moved me again to Friedendorf. And I stayed there. I had four children, and we used to all stay in one room in front, one room in the middle, and one kitchen. And we made a chokri inside the kitchen because there was no shower. Mm. And the bathroom we had to share with the neighbors, and a little African maids and all the Africans together, you know. So we used to live like that for the difficult life, you know. And then afterwards, the group areas came around. They said, "Now you must move. You must go to land." So we thought, and we said, no, we'd rather go away to Azadwal. So we moved away to Azadwal. We took all our goods, you know. And the wife was so tired and fed up. She said, "Where am I moving all the money? What can you do? You're living in a company with a Buddha. They kick you out from one place to the other. You just have to go." And then eventually, when we came to stay in Crown Mines, which we are staying now, for 15 years now, we're staying here. And then I told her, "Don't you want to move?" I said, no. Next book I made is Kabristan.
They say in Gujarati, tabla sarangi lene chalwano, you know?
No, it's true, you know. Kabar ma jaono, but you should have tabbi pijo mar parwana basho.
Inshallah, not that, inshallah.
Jee.
Jazakumullah, Brother Abdulaziz, wonderful insight from your side. Jazakumullah.
Oh, okay, Jazakumullah, thanks a lot.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yeah, and just a clip before that we had, raised in a house of nine, a mother of nine, under dire circumstances with poverty looming over your head. It was difficult, it wasn't easy, but people managed to stay united and people managed to come out of the throes of poverty and alhamdulillah make good progress. But the problem is, with the progress, everything else fell off. Because in order to pursue that progress, I suppose there's a lot of sacrifice required in the interim. Nonetheless, brothers and sisters in Islam, we've got a few more minutes before we wrap up today's discussion on fitas. And the objective of this is to create that discussion again and make people tell them that, listen, we had it. We can do it again, inshallah. Let's try and get it again in our youngsters and in our families. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll give you a few minutes, inshallah, and then we'll wrap up. You know, I think I must end off this series with a tour to Fitas. Maybe the last program I should go to it there in one of somebody's house, Fitas Market, you know, and maybe go there with a museum. There is somebody told me there is a museum there, I'm not sure where, and maybe I must go sit there and take some shots for the listeners. And perhaps paint a picture for those people who are not familiar with the area.